You can take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 15 if you like. And what I'd like to talk to you tonight about is, it's actually a question. And my question is, are you an impatient person? Are you an impatient person? And my goal in preparing for this teaching and sharing this teaching with you is to impart something to you that can be practical, that you can apply to your life, and that you can see the truth of God's Word concerning a particular subject, and believingly the Word will be able to convince you, and perhaps it may be an area that you want to consider you might need some change in. So what we're going to look at tonight is it God's will for us to demonstrate patience? We're also going to see that what are the consequences of being impatient. We're going to see what does my impatience reveal about my attitude towards God. And we're going to look at how we can change if we are impatient to the point where we can be a patient person. Now, most people that you talk to would probably dismiss impatience to a character flaw or some type of personality trait in an individual. Well, he's just an impatient person, such and such. And they don't much go further than that particular definition of it. The word patience means to bear pain or trial calmly and without complaint. It means manifesting forbearance under provocation or strain. To be patient is not to be hasty or impetuous. Thus, to be impatient is to demonstrate an inability to tolerate delay, sometimes accompanied by various harmful emotions and acts. That's what an impatient person is. They don't have the ability to tolerate delay or wait. And a lot of times that's coupled with emotions and acts. You know, some people that are impatient, they start to yell. And they fly off the handle. Some people that are impatient get angry. Some people that are impatient get bitey. If you're a female. Yeah. Or clawy. Big. See? But these things go along with that. People who have little to no patience many times will accuse you in a situation. If things aren't going as fast as they want them to go, or if things aren't going the way they want them to go, then people with little patience will accuse you that it's your fault because things aren't going the way they should go, or they're not going as fast as they should go. Another manifestation of people with impatience is that they'll judge you. Why did you do this, or how come you can't do this, or why can't we do it this way? See, because they're looking for a reason to justify their impatience, see? And it's all because of their inability to deal with the pressure of any given situation. And see, that's the tricky part. The person who is demonstrating the impatience is the one who has the problem. But by their judging you, or by their accusing you, they want to shift the problem and focus towards you. And they're looking for a scapegoat. someone to blame or someone to judge because they have to justify the way they're feeling and the way they're acting. Now, there's a time and a place for aggressive action in any given situation. However, you got to learn in life that sometimes things just take time. They just take time. And no matter what you do or how you respond, it's not going to make the situation better. Now, you're in Luke chapter 15, and what I want to do is give you a few examples from the Word of God of what impatience will do and what an impatient person will do not only to himself, but to those that he loves and to his family many times. We have an example of an impatient person in Luke chapter 15. It's often referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. And you know that he was just an impatient young man because he did not want to wait for his inheritance. He wanted it when?
Now.
He wanted it now. And in verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons," Luke 15, 11, verse 12, "and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his" what? Now, it was his right to ask for that because in the Eastern culture, that's the way they did it. But it was an improper request because his father was still alive and there was still a lot of work to be done. And there was still a lot of things for him to function as a child in that family. But he didn't want any of that anymore. He just wanted to go to the end and he wanted it all now. And so, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with what? And I see that so many times with youth. You know, youth does not know how to handle money. They do not know how to handle wealth. They do not know how to handle these types of things. And when they get these types of things, okay, a lot of times they just squander it and blow it. See? And anybody who's in a position to have money or wealth as a parent would be wise not to give it to a teenager. Because what you wind up doing is making them a spoiled brat and they don't know how to appreciate anything or to work for anything. And you just make the problem that they have already worse. Well, he wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14, and when he had spent how much? There you go. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swines. Now, you know how the Jewish people are around pork and pigs, right? Because it's not, well, it was back then too. So it was a disgrace for this man to be near this. But this is where he came from. He came from a position that he had in the father's house. He had security. He had fellowship with the father. He had fellowship with the family. He had a roof over his head. He had a food on the table. He had everything. And he had an inheritance in the future that awaited him. But he couldn't wait. And this is what happened. So he's feeding the swines. And he would fain, verse 16, to fill his belly with the husk of the swines that they did eat, but no man gave unto him. This young man's journey towards disgrace and disaster was provoked by impatience. And what were the results? Well, as you read through the record, you can see that he embarrassed himself and he embarrassed his family. You can see that he lost his inheritance. He wasted it, he blew it. He almost lost his life. And you know what else happened to this young man, amongst other things? He began to feel unworthy. You know, he was out there with the pigs. How do you think he felt? F- felt so bad that he was happy just to eat what the pigs were eating. See, so where did he go in his mind? See, no good thing resulted from his lack of the ability to tolerate delay. He wanted his inheritance, and he had to have it now. You see? Do you think it was God's will for this young man to be impatient? Okay. What do you think God thinks about patience? As I was working this, I came across this verse in Luke chapter 21. And when I saw this verse, it amazed me. King James reads, Luke 21, 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now, this is talking about a future time, but the truth is there. The New American Standard reads, by your endurance you will gain your life. You will gain your life. Now, how many of you ever thought that patience could save your life? That's a big deal. And God puts it in His Word. Patience save these people's lives. So I'd say God places a pretty high value on being patient. For God Himself is called a God of what? Patience. Romans 15, 5, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus. You see, your like-mindedness towards one another is according to. The words according to give you the standard by which we are to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus. It's not according to my doctrine or my theological background or my church or my personality or what I think is right. Our like-mindedness towards one another is to be according to Christ Jesus. In other words, we heard walking in Jesus' steps and manifestations, following in His steps. That's according to Christ Jesus. What would Jesus do in this situation? How would He respond? How would He think about you? See, that's the way I should think about you. Our like-mindedness should be according to Christ Jesus. God's a God of patience. Aren't you glad for that? Right? I mean, because look at what He puts up with us. Because if He wasn't a God of patience, He'd be just God. There'd be angels and Jesus, and there won't be any of us. Because we're a bunch of knuckleheads at times. You see, when you're impatient about a situation, it's more than just a weakness or a character flaw. Your impatience reveals a deeper problem. Your impatience reveals your attitude towards God. When we begin to demonstrate impatience, we are telling the Lord that we don't trust Him to work the thing out. In other words, you don't know where you're going. Move over. I want to drive. You get it? See, that's the deeper problem. We let God know by our words and by our actions that we think our timing is better than Him. We think that we can handle the problem better than He can, because He's not getting us there fast enough, or we're not seeing the results fast enough. And surely if I was in the captain's chair, we would have been there and done that already. And at that moment, you really expose the great sin behind impatience. And that sin is the sin of pride. Remember I taught you years ago that pride has many masks? Well, impatience is one of the masks for pride. You see, because what you're doing is you are actually elevating your knowledge and your understanding above the all-knowing knowledge and the all-knowing understanding and the all-powerful God. Because if you were in control, this surely would have been done by now. Okay? And that's a trick of the devil. But impatience, see, is not the problem. Impatience is a secondary sin. The root cause is pride in this particular context. So if you just deal with impatience and don't deal with the pride that's the root of the impatience, the pride will manifest itself in another sin if you put your finger on the impatient part of it. You see? It's when you think your way is right and that God really doesn't understand. He doesn't have a clue on how to handle this thing, so you got to help him out. Let me show you another example of someone who was impatient. Look at Numbers 22. This guy was so bad, God had a jackass talk to him. Because he didn't want to wait around. Numbers 22, in verse 20, it says, "And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do." Verse 21. You know what verse 21 doesn't say? Verse 21 doesn't say this. "And the men came and called Balaam." Verse 21 says, "And Balaam," what? "Rose up and saddled his ass, and he went with the princes of Moab." See? Did he listen? He just couldn't. That's the manifestation of someone who's impatient. Got to do it their way. God's anger was kindled because he what? He went. "The angel of the Lord saw him standing by the way of his adversary, and he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him," and you can read the rest of it, and how the donkey had to tell him, you're a dumbass. I'm smarter than you. Why? Because he was impatient. And it says, "Then God's anger was kindled against him." Hey, you want to tick off the Lord? Okay? Just be impatient. Okay, no good thing will come of it. Go to 1 Samuel 13. I'll show you another one. 1 Samuel 13. Samuel was... I'm going to show you here where impatience was not only a result of pride, but impatience here was also a result of fear. Fear. Samuel had some things going on, and the Philistines were going to fight and stuff, and he called for, Saul, he called for the prophet Samuel and wanted him to bless things. And in 1 Samuel 13, verse 8, it says, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed." 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. "But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said," verse 9, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offerings. And it came to pass that as soon as he made the end of the burnt offerings, the offerings and burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou what?
Done.
And Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not in the appointed times, the day, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together," so on and so forth, a mismatch. "Therefore I said, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I had no supplication unto the Lord. So I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering unto" what? "Unto God. And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done" what?
"Foolishly,
and you not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel," what?
Forever.
And you know what happened from Saul's impatience? Because he didn't want to wait. He not only lost the kingdom, he lost what? His life and the life of members of his family. Right? Now, there were other things involved. I understand. But it wasn't a good thing what he did. Because he had to do it now. He had to have it now. You know? He couldn't wait. And boy, that's really a sad position to be in. A sad position to be in. The root of impatience here, you can see, is not only pride, but fear. You know what else causes impatience sometimes with people? Greed. Greed drives them to be impatient. They got to do this and got to do that and got to get this and got to get that. Anger is another thing that drives people to be impatient. An angry person, you'll find, is an impatient person. They got to have it now and they got to have it their way. Thus, you can see how the consequences of being impatient are far-reaching. And even if you get delivered from situations, the consequences of impatience are still far-reaching and still something that many times you have to live with. Take the prodigal son, for instance. His father was looking for him. And when he saw him, he put the signet ring on his finger, he put a robe on, made a big party. But you want to know something? He still lost his inheritance. And he had to live with that for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. In the case of Balaam, the donkey had more sense than the prophet. In the case of Saul, he lost everything. He lost his wealth, his family, the kingdom. You know what else he lost, which was the most important thing? He lost his relationship with God. He lost his relationship with God. He lost his Holy Spirit. In the case of the prodigal son, although the father welcomed him back into the house, he still lost his inheritance. We, too, must live with the consequences of our impatience. You know? I've often, when I was working this, I thought just how many divorces are the result of an impatient person or persons. Because things just aren't working out the way they think. Because things just aren't the way they should be. And I've fed up. I've had enough. Okay. How many cars have been repossessed because of impatient people? I gotta have it. Can you afford it? That doesn't matter. I'm not waiting. I want it now. Just this week, a friend of Kim's for years and a customer of mine was telling a story about how, I don't know whether it was his oldest son or whatever, a son or whatever, and they got a house and now they're living with them because they can't afford the house. How many times has that happened, especially in the past 20 years, because of the market and the way the market moved, because they were given these houses that are $1 zillion and making it available to just walk in, and because they wanted it now. They wanted it now. You know, when you accumulate things over a period of time, you learn how to appreciate things more, and you learn how to steward them better. But when it gets dumped in your lap, you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the wherewithal to know how to deal with that. If you ever read about, what's the lottery up to now? 16 billion or something? Was it 600 million or something like that? I don't know.
It's over a billion.
So, but here's the thing. If you ever read about lottery winners, you'll see that the majority of those people, their lives end in travesty. It's just destruction of everything. Because they don't know how to deal with that. Because their spirits, evil spirits, demons, devil spirits, call them what you want, daimonio, attached to that kind of money. And that stuff comes with a price. It always comes with a price. And if you want to go down that route and that's what's going to happen, then you want to pay the price. How many jobs have been lost because people are impatient? How many children have been orphaned or sent to foster homes or are a result of a broken marriage because of impatience? See? All because people don't want to wait. All because people have to have it now. What is Burger King's motto? Have it your way. You know what? Sometimes your way is not the best way. Sometimes your way is in opposition to God's way. And if you don't die unto yourself and make His will your will, then you'll walk in that impatience also. Because you want it, and because instead of Father knowing best, you know best. And you're going to do whatever you need to do and however you need to do it to get it right away. Right away. But if you don't deal with the root, you'll never cure the problem. And like I told you, impatience is not the root. It's a secondary sin. You got to look deeper. And many times it's tracked back to pride. Just a prideful person. We need to learn how to be meek and trust the Lord. We must put off our fear. We must put off our egotistical, prideful attitudes if we're going to do it God's way. You got to be willing to say that He knows better than us. And if it takes a little bit of time, then so be it. Impatience is a demonstration of our unbelief and our disobedience towards God. Now, I'm talking as Christians. If you're an impatient and you're manifesting that in your life, what that is telling a spiritual individual who has an eye to see, that you are demonstrating unbelief and disobedience towards God because you're impatient. Because the Lord will move you along and the Lord will provide, and if you are manifesting other than that, then what you're doing is you're contradicting God. Proverbs 3, verse 5, you all know it, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." Got it? "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You see, you decide God's way or your way. That's really what it boils down to. Just saying, folks. Is it going to be your way? Is it going to be God's way? Look at Hebrews chapter 6, please. You all have heard this verse before, but I want to read it to you and a little bit more of it. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Now, you've heard that before, right? "Which you have showed towards His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and what?
Patience
inherit the what?
Promises.
You see, you get the God's promises through faith and patience. You inherit them. "For when God made promise to Abraham," verse 13, "because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he," Abraham, "had what?
Patiently
endured, he obtained the what? I wonder just how many promises the devil is stealing from God's people because they are impatient. They are impatient. You know, God promises something, you pray about something, and then you know what you need to do? You just need to sit put. You need to stay your mind. You need to believe God. You need to trust in the Lord. And then in about, sometimes an hour, If the knock on the door doesn't come, what do? A lot of times we throw out the promise of God because we didn't get it. And we don't want to wait around. Or, oh, it must not be working. And just the thought and just the words, oh, it must not be working, the doubt cancels it. And then you start to go down the wrong road. Just how many promises of God have been stolen from us by our impatience? I just wonder sometimes. You know? We're headed down the right road, and just because we can't sit put. Look, even a chicken's got to sit on an egg for a while before it hatches it. You know, pop it out, and then the little chick's there, right? No, you got to nurture it. You got to sit. You got to. Well, okay. Well, if a chicken's that smart, don't you think that we should be? Right? Now, I know we get tricked in this area. So it's not a matter, you know, to feel bad about it. But you don't need to stay in this area if you've been impatient. And you just can't stay put on things. You need to just understand that it's really not a character flaw, that it's really a sin. That it's a manifestation of pride. That you don't trust God. You can say you trust God, but you really don't. Because if you trusted God, you want to know what patience is? Jesus Christ. He trusted God right to the cross. And then when he died, his dying thoughts, okay, was he's getting up. He trusted God to raise him. Now that's a patient person. Did you ever read about the 12 apostles and some of the stuff they did? Do you think Jesus had to be patient when he was working with them? How about some of the guys that he encountered amongst the apostles and the other disciples? You got to be patient. Because if you're easy to fly off the handle, and you're ready just to jump, and you're ready just to quick judge, and you're ready quick to go out, you know what? You're not going to be able to help God's people. Because all the devil's going to do to steal the promises away from you and from God's people, he's just going to come along and push your button. And once he pushes your button, there you go. And what happens? What good are you to God? What good are you to yourself? What good are you to anybody around you? You're not. You've all been around people that are like that. They just go, right? It's not a good thing. We need to be doers of the word. And we need to get a better handle on the problems and pressures of life without flying off the handle or stomping off in a huff. Because we can't have it our way and we can't have it now. Look at Hebrews 10. We're going to close there. So, impatient people are people, especially Christians, that really, they're not exhibiting the trust in God that they should. Now, you may not have ever thought about it like that. And you may never thought about the root underneath the impatience, which is pride. But I hope that you see from the Word of God now that it's not just his personality type, and it's not just a character flaw. It's basically a sin. And it comes from an even worse sin, if I could say such a thing, and that's pride. And a lot of times, impatience will stand as a guardian spirit in front of the pride. Like I taught you so many years ago. So you can't really see the pride. What you see here is the impatience. You see the confusion. You see the moving around. You see the anger. You see the judging. But back here is what the root is. And you can deal with this and you can put a Band-Aid on this. But if you don't get to this, you'll be dealing with this and putting a Band-Aid on this for the rest of your life. Like I taught you, it's better to kill the spider than just to wipe the spider web down every day when you walk out of the door. You would think it would occur to us to do that, right? Get rid of the spider, and that's the thing with pride. If you get rid of the pride, you know what's going to happen to here? It's going to go away. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For you have need of what? Patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the what?
Promise.
And that's where many times you lose it. You prayed, you've done your best, you give it to God, and now you know what you do? You sit still. You stay put. You stay in faith. You hold on to those promises. And God will come through. He'll come through. So don't let the devil steal the promises of God away from you because you wanted them yesterday. How many of you can think back because of some impatient situation in your life now and say, boy, I'm glad that that didn't happen to me? I can think back about several women that I am very happy that that didn't happen to me, right? That I was patient and got the right one. So let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we can trust you, really trust you, Father, that we can die unto self, and there's nothing wrong with you knowing more than us and you having more wisdom than us and more direction. You're God. You're supposed to know more than us. And how arrogant we are to think that we could do it better and to tell you to get away from the driver's seat. Let us get there and let us steer the bus for a while. How stupid is that? Thank you, Father, that we can see this and that we can become meek and humble in our attitude towards you and towards one another so that we can receive all your blessings and promises that you have available for us and that Jesus did die and give his life so that we could have them. He didn't die and give his life and his blood so that the devil could steal them by our stupidity and our impatience. But he gave his life so that we can enjoy an abundant life. And after that we have done your will, Father, may we have patience that we could receive these promises. In his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.